All right, we're live. Where's that one to duck? Oh, there it is. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
In the House of Craze tonight, we have a great guest with a great book. His name is Anthony Stokes, and he's got a book called Dick Hay, Issues 1 and 2, Revenge Tour. That's coming up next.
Let's get it.
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your meds, listen to us on the go. Updated every week, we never miss a day. Join the squad, come on in, it's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent, cast the Craze! Making moves on your own, cast the Craze! On your grind in the streets, cast the Craze! Join the movement. Catch the Craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. Yeah, you want to do it. Catch the Craze. Welcome to Cast the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are live. It is Tuesday, May 17th, and we have a guest in the back. His name is Anthony Stokes, and he's got a book called Decay. It's a really, really dope book. Issues 1 and 2 are right now on the on a campaign on Kickstarter. He's got, what's going on, Grant? So we do this every week, and we talk to independent artists from all walks of life. If this is something you'd like to check out, make sure you subscribe. Hit the like button, comment below, hit that bell so that you're reminded every single time we come online and you can stream with us. What's going on, Sammy? What's happening, my brother?
What's happening? What's going on? What's up? Keeping it geekly in his
ass. What up, Cody?
Yo, so what's happening? My house seems to be a refuge for Texas creatures. So, you know,
the Texan Chronicles continue.
Yeah, so in the kitchen they have this back door, right? And so, you know, then there's a storm door, you know, so you have your door, then you have that second layer, right, with the screen. But there's a 1-inch gap. Okay. So the geckos always decide to come in through that gap. So my wife is afraid to catch them. So I hear screams and I have to go and I have to chase these little buggers and I have to chase them around the house and I got to take my dogs and hide them so they don't think it's dessert. And then I got to catch them. In one day I caught 3 geckos.
Nice.
These mother effer. I said, yo, you have a lake. You have all that plush, you know, foliage out there. Why are you coming in here?
It's probably cool. It's probably cool in your
I'm like, yo. So yeah, the geckos are out of control. The bugs are out of control. Me and my wife got into a debate about wasps. They're not wasps. We have hornets. But these hornets, right, they don't do anything. These guys come in. I'm working out in the garage. They come in. They bzz, 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 and then they go right out. They're like, oh, wrong. We made a wrong. Yeah, they're like, sorry. We made a left. We should have made a right. I said, that's all right. So they've never done anything to me. But my wife, when she sees them, she's going after them with a vengeance. And nice. I'm like, I said, just don't do it in front of me, you know, because we got a good relationship. And, you know, they don't touch me. I don't touch them. We're all good, you know. And I just don't like massacre. You know, I don't like murder. You know, it's like, come on. I try to save them all.
You try to save them?
I try to save them.
All right.
It's like, you know, but she's out there with a swatter and she's out there with toxins and she's like, ah, and I was like, when she gets in that mode, I got to walk away and go in the house. And she's, where are you going? I said, I don't want to see the massacre. I can't. I said, we hang out here. I've learned one lesson. If you don't do anything to them, they don't do anything to you. That's it. They're not just going to come over to you and say, all right, they're not like mosquitoes who are so evasive. They're disrespectful. They just start sucking. Without an invite, they just start sucking on you. And you don't even see them. Mm. That's perplexing. Scientists, why is it we never see the damn mosquitoes when we're outside, but when we get inside the house, we got marks. We're lumped up.
Yeah, some people are more susceptible to get bit than others. I don't really get mosquito bites as much, but
no,
I know some people that do. Yeah, I guess I get them all the time. They don't like my blood.
Yeah, I get them all the time.
So you get the hornets, huh?
Yeah, they're pretty legit. I've never seen a hornet. You know, because I remember the brown hornet from the Fat Albert. I know the shape, so that's how I knew they were hornets. And I took a picture. I said, yeah, I confirmed my theory. They're hornets. And I was like, oh, they have a cool shape to them. It's pretty legit. Yeah. But besides my insects and my animal, I'm packed, ready to go.
You're packed.
I'm packed. I'm
Where
ready
you going? Where you going? Where
I'm
you
leaving,
going?
I'm leaving on Monday. I'm going to the expo. What?
Expo, baby.
Yeah. So I had to schedule a nurse to come to the house on Saturday to because you have to be tested before you go there, 2 days before you go. So and to get approval, you know, crazy. So
I can't look at the. I gotta listen to you. I can't look at the at the chat. Go ahead.
What was the chat?
Cody's saying some funny stuff.
The gecko.
The gecko just wants you to share. This is all. That's all it wants.
Yeah, I'll give you some. So I went. You know, I had to go online and look for, because I have to have a report card. I got to give you a printout saying, you know, your results, and you have to give it into the expo center.
Oh yeah, because you had to get back, right? You have to take a test.
Yeah, that have to be. You have to either bring your vax cards to prove that you're vaccinated, or you have to bring
a negative test.
Wow, a home nurse visit. You fancy? No, that's why they do it out here in Texas. I scheduled the appointment, and I thought I was going over there. And it says, okay, this is your nurse, and they'll be at your house. I was like, oh, my house? I was just as shocked as everybody else. I was flabbergasted. Damn. But anyway, so they're coming 9 a.m. Saturday morning. They said it's a 20-minute thing. Boom, they do it. They give you a report card, and they're on the way. And then Monday, I'm out in the morning, I'm meeting my boy out there. I call him Muscles. His name is Claude. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's got muscles on muscles on muscles. He'll make any average man look like a woman.
Damn, dog. Easy.
It was like, hello. Sure. I was like, how are you? Okay.
Cancellations begin.
I mean, he's got so many biceps that you hear the seams on his clothing screaming as they try to hold on. It's crazy. But So he's meeting me out there on Monday just to help me set up the booth, because I'll be just setting it up myself. So he's going to meet me there. And then on Monday night, my boy Paul lands. Midnight, and then he and I will be rocking out the 3 days. So I'm excited about that. Still waiting for Dallas Fan Expo to let me know what the hell's going on with that. They said they're supposed to make the decisions today, even though they took my money in February.
You signed up for that back in February. Jesus, man, that's a long time.
And it's in 4 weeks from now. Woo. And they still haven't made the decision about Artist Alley, which is crazy. It's like we sank in the totem pole. Like, nobody cares about us in Artist Alley. He's like, what the hell?
Damn.
Yeah.
Who was it? I think it was somebody once said that Artist Alley sometimes looks like where indies go to die. Like, once they reach Artist Alley, it's like a graveyard.
It's over.
But now, you guys, whatever you make of it, I guess at that point, man.
Yeah, you got to stand out. You got to hustle. Artist Alley, it's like I equate it to like what is it, Wall Street? You see all those guys yelling, right, trying to get your attention.
I guess, but it's different because like artists normally aren't as boisterous. You know what I mean?
Nah. You gotta have that road dog. You gotta got that that person that's gonna be there to help, you know, with the energy, because I did a segment on that. If you're going to be there and you're going to have your head down and you're going to be eating your hoagies and you got stains on your shirt, it's like, yo, what are you doing?
It's crazy, right? So you're in this big alley, right? And you have you got to be careful that your hype man isn't too loud, where like everybody else around just like, yo, calm down, bro. Like, let's chill.
Deep, but not county.
act like you've been here, bro. You know what I mean? Because that's the hype man. Because there's almost like an unwritten rule, right? That you don't just grab a person that's at that table to your table until they're done looking at that. That's what I'm saying. That's why that road dog or that hype man has to know the rules of engagement. Yeah. He can't just be like, yo, stop looking at that over there. Come over here. Can't do that.
Those are the details, bro.
That's frowned upon. That's frowned upon. The rules of engagement, bro.
And it's always those guys. Yeah, they have the jersey. That one guy, every time someone came to my table, he's snatching them up. And I was like, Sam, you're a different guy. Se usa, you're a different man.
But at that point, you have to say something. You don't have to beat the man up, but you got to be like, my man, hey, excuse me, sir. I wasn't done with this gentleman here. You know what I mean? You got to say something. That happened one time with a guy I shared booth with once. Ooh, yeah. See what I'm saying? Like,
that's pretty.
Some people just step on toes, and sometimes you got to,
you step on toes. You
take it easy,
nose.
Man. Take it easy, man.
Like, what are you doing?
And then,
when I get back, we launch. Nailing in my toilet, part two.
Bam. Nailing in my toilet, part two. Yeah, that's coming May 31st. Yeah. Launch party at 7:30 p.m. Be there or be square. We are going, and then the campaign goes live at 8 o'clock.
And then we were both on to close out Wonder Duck, and to continue with the launch of Disney in My Toilet, we'll be on Indie Comics Relay together. Yes. So that'd be dope.
Keith Gleason and Johnny C. What up, fellas?
And we're closing out The Adventures of Wonder Duck, which is killing it.
Adventures of Wonder Duck. Yes.
It's on fire.
Yes. This is week. Tomorrow will be the end of week two, going into the dreaded week three, man. That's the one where like things just seem to stop. The guy was sharing a booth with, tried to poach a customer at the table. See, the lady running that booth almost murdered him. That's what I'm saying. Can't do it. Hype. Anthony and DK, it's coming. It's coming, baby.
I'm backing up.
It's coming.
Yes. So, that's crazy. Yeah, people act up.
Yeah, no, they do. But, so the campaign is going live. It'll be live until June 1st. So if you haven't done so yet, please pledge to the campaign. Yeah. The Adventures of Wonder Duck is on Kickstarter. And if you pledge while we're live right now, I'm going to give you the unlocked stretch goal. I'm adding this to everybody's physical tier if you guys pledge right now while we are live on the show. But we do have a guest in the background, and we are going to be bringing them in. Big shout out to everybody who's in the chat. Thank you guys so much for coming on and hanging out. Hang out for the remainder of the show. We got Anthony Stokes coming up next. He sent us some PDFs to read of the books, and two thumbs up from over here, man. Awesome stuff.
I thought you could do two snaps in a circle.
Oh, hey. Watch out. Bam. Oh, those were the days, man. Living color for those.
I've been watching reruns. Oh, it's crazy.
Too good. So many people came out of that show too. Jim Carrey, Jamie Foxx. I mean, a lot of people. But anyway,
J-Lo.
Yes. J-Lo. That's true. Rosie.
Rosie Perez.
Yeah, man. What you got? You got a bump before we bring in Anthony?
Yeah. Let's see. I'm going to bump. You know what? I'm going to bump the Girls of Rage. I'm going to give them a little love.
Let's do it.
Where is it? Here we go. Boom. What's up?
There he is.
Yo.
What's going on, Anthony? How are you, man?
I'm chilling, man. How y'all doing?
Good. All right. I was watching your camera. You look like you were having an attack where you were fighting the camera.
man. Look. Stressful times right now, you know.
What's up? So welcome to the craze. Let everybody know who you are.
My name is Anthony Stokes. I'm the writer and creator of Decay Issue 1 and 2 on Kickstarter right now, as you mentioned. And ain't a lot to me, man. I just like to write, bro.
That's it. Simple. Keep it simple. Where are you from, Anthony?
I'm from Manassas, Virginia.
Manassas, Virginia. Wow, I never heard of Manassas, Virginia. How far is that? What, like, where in the state? Are you in the middle?
It's like D.C. is like 30 minutes away from D.C.
Okay. All right. Born and raised?
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
Awesome, man. Awesome. How'd you get into comics?
So I've been writing for 15 years. I really appreciate, I really like movies. And then I realized, like, after failing as a filmmaker again and again and again, I was like, hey, it's a lot cheaper to make a comic book.
You know? True. Well, yeah, you know what it is, right? Because I'm thinking over here, like, oh, cheaper, you still have to pay the artist if you're a writer. But I guess after all, you know, it's said and done, when you're talking about a production in a movie and then putting a comic book together, it's a lot cheaper.
Well, the reality is that you can make an entire comic book inside of a computer, and you can't do that for a movie.
Yeah, yeah. Right. What, did you go to school for filmmaking?
No, I'm self-taught. I've always resented people that went to school for film or writing. Yeah, I never liked them, for real. They're too snooty.
So you just did it on your own. You kind of just picked up the camera and just started, like, you know, just filming.
I consumed a lot of media. So I was always a consumer as a kid. I would read comics, manga, you know, watch movies, TV, all that stuff. And then that was like where I got my base. And I started watching a lot of video essays. Like, I would watch a video essay for fun, you know what I'm saying? Like, on my work break. Mm-hmm. So, and I would just watch a movie. So I kind of got the Quentin Tarantino film school, you know, the Redbox education, I might call it.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So what was the trigger? Where was that moment in time where were you? What were you thinking when you said, you know what? I want to write my first screenplay.
Bro, I'd seen, so I was a kid. There's a second, I don't know. I just wanted to make it as a kid, but when I took it seriously, like when I knew, is I watched Superbad leading into my freshman year of high school. I was like, yo, that Superbad's about to be me. And it was me, but only the worst parts of Superbad. Like all the stuff where they got bullied and shitted on, that was me. That was it. And I saw Inglourious Basterds, and I was like, all right, this is what I want to do. Like, I was like locked in, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Do you enjoy, like, Quentin Tarantino, your favorite movies besides Inglourious Basterds? How would you rate his movies? Like, where would you rate him?
I'm like a begrudging, like, Quentin Tarantino fan.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he's kind of fallen into a pattern, I would say. I think Pulp Fiction is Inglourious Basterds, Reservoir Dogs, those are amazing. And then, like, you got some stuff in between. It's just like, eh. But his style and his approach, like, it is fantastic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So when you decided to write, did you go like the traditional route, like using software like Final Draft, or you just decided to grab a pen and pad? Like, what were the tools you used, and how did you know where to start?
I use this program called Celtix, CELTX. I'm not sure that's the right pronunciation, but basically it's a script writing program that like formats the script for you, and that's what I used. And then I really would write depending on that. Like, there was a point I used to be a truck helper. Mm-hmm. I would just be in the notepad, just typing up, you know what I'm saying? Like, really, I could write on anything. I write on, if I don't have my phone, pen and pad, like, it don't really matter to me.
Yeah. No, that's how it is. Sometimes you just, whatever's available. It's funny. I was watching this show on Disney Plus. It's called Sketchbook. And they tell you just whatever you have, use it. You know what I mean? Yeah. It doesn't matter. As far as it's concerned, whatever it is that's there to be for you to be creative, that's what you use. You know, of course, these programs help you when it comes to formatting things and, you know, the way it should look or the way, you know, people may look at it and say that's what we need. But how did you transition into comics, writing comics? Was that an easy transition from, say, for example, writing screenplays to writing a comic? Or?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I wasn't trying to make it simple for a bit. Like, it literally was like, it's easier. Like, I was like, I'm gonna have to either save tens of thousands of dollars for a short film. And by short film, I mean like a 5-minute film.
Yeah.
Or I can just put like a third of that into a comic book. I did, like, I was more of a manga guy. That was like the my visual medium of choice as a kid. So like I was familiar with the like the language, and there is like a manga influence. I actually took a panel basically from Berserk, and put it into the K at one point. So that was the main thing, but it was an easy transition. Because I like I said, I studied everything, you know, like I wanted to be a screenwriter, but I felt like, and I still feel like I could write anything, you know, mm-hmm. You give me a year, I could write a play. Like that's how I feel personally.
Right.
So all I did essentially was just cut down on the dialogue. And that was like the hardest transition I had. I remember I read Watchmen. I said, okay, 9 panels, the max. And then I was like, keep the dialogue to a minimum, let the artwork and speak for itself, and that was it.
Yeah, you have the opening scene of the K has that, where it's like it's no words. It's like it's just like the black panel on top, and then it's just the images. And they're very powerful images, bro. Like as you go through the comic and then you realize what's happening, they're very powerful. And there are no words. And I noticed that because there was no lettering on the pages. And I was like, oh, this actually does work. Did you, when did you start working on Decay?
I had the idea, I think, Christmas 2020, I was working on it. So it's relatively new. It'll be done 2023, I project. So it's going to be a pretty swift, a brief series, you know, a good starter series, I would say.
How many issues?
Five issues. So we're almost halfway done.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Yeah, and you've written the chapters or the issues, or you're still writing them, or
they're done. Yeah.
Okay. Good.
So, man, where did you pull the inspiration from for this story?
Well, it's about grief, right? And we all go through grief. You know, that's part of human life. That's part of life. Period is death and grief, and it was like that. And I just wanted something that I've dealt with a lot. I had a lot of people pass recently. And I was like, I need to, you know, maybe subconsciously, I need to write something like this to kind of deal with this in a hopefully a healthy way.
Yeah.
Right. So was that subconsciously where, you know, because there was that one point when I guess he asked his sister, you know, did you ever think of bringing him back? Right. Where did that come from? That idea, was that something that you contemplated, like for those who you lost? Or, you know, like how did you get to that point?
I think that's a common thing. I think that's like anything, right? Like, I think that's, again, that goes with grief, you know? And what's up, John? And the thing is, the reason he asked that is to set up the mechanics of the revival, essentially. So it's not super deep, you know? Like, it's, I look at like a story like building a house, you know? Like, I look at it like real practically. What do I need to accomplish? I make a floor plan, you know, and then you execute what you need to do. And what we need to execute is this person can bring somebody back from the dead. Why haven't they done it already? Boom. That's what that moment is about.
Yes. Right.
I think you mentioned you created it in the end of December 2020, or the idea came to you December 2020. And if you think about everything that happened in 2020, it just made sense that a story like this, you know, would kind of come out. And I think you did a great job with like you said, some of those devices, right? Like some of those, hey, so are you ever thought of, like it makes you ask that question, wait, she can bring people back, and you throw the voodoo aspect into it. And it, so a lot of that stuff is cool, man. I really enjoyed a lot of that, a lot of what you were doing with the book. My question is, Marcus, man, what's up with I was very upset about Marcus, man.
Good.
I was like, damn, man.
I did my job.
You did your job, bro. You did your job. But no, we should probably share the campaign, Sam, so we could talk a little bit about the campaign itself. And there it is. That image is awesome, bro. I know you had said, I think you commissioned to have that image done for the campaign, right?
Yeah, a little peek behind the curtain. Yeah. You get the cover art done. And no disrespect to anybody, I just think original art that's fitted to the cover art works the best. Mm-hmm. It's the most aesthetically pleasing. You then take that cover art and offer it as a digital reward for your stretch goal. So a little two for one, you know, get the full utility.
Yeah. And then so this is, so the tagline there says a comic book about love, despair, grief, and revenge. And so tell us a little bit about the story and some of the characters in it, just for people who maybe have never heard of Decay and what they're getting into here.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't like to go into the story so much, but I do like to go. Of course, if you guys have any story questions, go ahead. I like to keep things vague, but feel free. I like to talk about the themes more so.
Okay, so go ahead.
And tone and stuff like that. I mean, what you're essentially getting is something that has a lot of dimensions. It's going to make you cry, make you laugh, make you angry. Like I said, it's about death. It's very bleak, misanthropic, you might say. And if people like that sort of thing, like you said, it was made in 2020. I said 2020. It's probably 20. No, that makes yeah, because COVID. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you know, yeah. we was all going through hard times back then. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely dark. It's definitely something that, hey man, if you want something that's gonna break your heart, like this is it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, I guess, the bond that you kind of built with these two characters in a small amount of time. Because, by the time you meet the main character and his sister, you can tell a lot about what's going on in their lives. Just in 5 or 6 pages where you introduce them. And so some of these devices, I'm going to say, is that something that you learned from, I guess, watching movies, or was it more from comics? Like,
it's more watching movies.
Who are some of the directors, maybe even writers, that you kind of like, thought about, oh wow, I like the way they did that, I like the way they did this?
I'm gonna reference Tarantino again. It's just visual storytelling and period. I think what you'll notice is that good things, right? Like, not just good movies, good comics, good manga, good whatever, you introduce that character, boom, like who they are instantly. And hey, we're paying for the page, we gotta print multiples of four. I don't have a lot of time to waste, You gotta understand who these characters are. I believe Marcus and DK get 4 pages, maybe 3. Jess, like, my goal is like for Jess, like by 2 pages and who she is. It was just being as efficient as possible.
Gotcha. So you're very economical when it comes to your writing. You have 28 pages. I'm gonna do it in 28. You have 24. I'm gonna do it in 24. You're not wasting any of it. You're trying to get as much as you possibly can in those 28 pages.
Yeah, and if I'm a little bit under, then I'll throw in some splash pages.
Gotcha. Interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting way of storytelling. But you know what? It's whatever works, I think. And so you have. I mean, listen, it's a deep story. There's a lot of heavy emotional things here. Did you draw from, obviously, other than the stuff that's happened to all of us or what we went through in the past, did you draw anything from personal experiences, people you knew,
absolutely,
friends, family? Talk a little bit about that, just some of the characters and who you kind of took from.
I think we all know, like, I think you write characters where it's like, I think Judd Apatow is really good at this. Mm-hmm. You write characters like that guy,
right?
And that kind of fills in some of the backstory. Like, so, yeah, it's people you know. We know the guy who's like a little bit safe. We know the guy who's really ambitious, is a little bit more out there. We know the chick that's like really sweet, but kind of weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know these people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, it's true. How long is your video there? If you want to play it, sound like if you can hear
that
it.
That is 2 minutes long.
All right, let's see.
A little bit of intellectual property theft coming up. It's a long intro.
My name is Anthony Stokes. I'm the writer and creator of Decay, Issue 2. Decay is a bleak and atmospheric story that is character-driven and ends with a gut punch. When I was doing research for Decay, Issue 1, which was my first ever comic book, a lot of the advice I got was start small. And as a result, Decay, Issue 1 is largely about setting up the characters and asking questions. There was heavy emphasis that anybody that enjoys good story would pick up the K and like it. In issue two, we answer some of those questions as well as ask some new questions to keep the story engaging. There's more world building as well as more payoff, and we still get to understand the characters better, which was very, very important. The K issue two has all the improvements on a technical level that I learned from issue one. And I've been working with my artist Marcelo for pretty much 2 years now. So our connection and chemistry is growing stronger. And as a result, the art is only getting better. The comic book is ready to go. I've learned a lot from the last Kickstarter. And I'm taking all those lessons that I learned into the second Kickstarter to make sure that everybody gets their rewards swiftly after the campaign ends. We have two variant covers. We have a mixtape full of original music inspired by Decay. We have merch, all available as rewards for the campaign. Thank you so much for watching, and I hope you enjoyed Decay Issue 2 as much as we enjoyed making it. Thank you.
That's pretty much it.
Awesome, bro. Awesome. Yeah, so you talk about taking some of the things that you learned in the first campaign and making them better on this campaign. What were some of the things that you changed from campaign one to campaign two that you learned?
Campaign one, okay. So I learned to the shipping. It was a real point of emphasis for me to have the physical copy ready as soon as possible. No, I mean, literally, it's printed out. Like, I got like seven, I got a whole box of these at the crib. So I'm like, I think the campaign ends on a Tuesday. I ship out on Wednesday. My goal is to ship out like 20 or 30 comic books the first day.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to fulfill like within the first week of the campaign. Gotcha. I'm dependent on, can people get the surveys done in time? Maybe, right. Maybe some of it will be family where maybe I can just reach out to them. But no, like stuff like that as well. And just understanding the process better. Just general, I wish I had a better answer. Just knowing things. Like, it's so intimidating the first time you do it and then you get a rhythm. I'm bagging up my comic books in advance. Like, I have 30 copies of issue two already bagged up, bagged and boarded.
Right.
Just trying to be as efficient, trying to fulfill as soon as possible. Like, I want my brand equity to be very high. Like, I want people to like almost back just because, like, hey, I know that guy, you know what I'm saying? And he delivers.
Right. No, you're right. I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, people sometimes are scared or skeptical about pledging to a campaign because they don't know if they're going to get the book. Is it done? Is it finished? But you're saying this book is done, ready to go. Everything is completed, and you're just ready to rock and roll. It's ready to just
the variant prints aren't printed yet, but I'm really just trying to get a count. Like, that's it. I'm trying to see, like, how many people want what. But, yeah, I can get that printed out, like, within 2 weeks. So, yeah, just trying to get that taken care of as soon as possible.
I
sent out my PDF a lot. Like, I sent my strategy for marketing was to send my PDF out for free to people, like, offering, of course. I'm not spamming anybody. I'd be like, hey, I'm sure you've seen it. Who wants to read my comic book? People will respond. I send it to them. So I think there's already a familiarity with the brand as well, like the series as well, which also helps.
Yeah. No, I think it's important. It's important to have that. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the artwork, man. So I know in the video you said you've been working with your artist for a while. How did you guys meet up and start working on this?
Our Reddit r/combo collabs, and I was looking for an artist. The first artist was a complete dud, and then I hit it off with Marcelo, and we've been fantastic ever since. You know, he's an up and coming artist. We're growing together. We know we look out for each other.
Yeah.
And I hope, at least it hasn't been communicated to me, that there's ever been any problems or disagreements. I think we work really well together.
Gotcha. He does all the coloring as well, right?
Yes. And I think he does a fantastic job.
Yeah. No, I really did dig it, man. And big shout out to SK, who did the lettering in issue two.
Yeah. I kind of made him my mentor. Just ask him a bunch of questions relentlessly.
Yeah, no. It looks great. I like this cover too, man. Tales of Decay.
Absolutely. So my Rich Ragsdale, who I have on my Twitter, he made that for me. So that's the best seller right there. I got Man, I sold some units for that one.
That's awesome, bro.
Absolutely. Awesome.
And you were just at a convention this weekend, right?
Yeah, you see these bags under my eyes?
Yeah. How was that? Which one was it? It was that the Cradle? Was that the one, CradleCon?
Tidewater Comic-Con.
Oh, Tidewater. Right. How'd it go?
It went, frankly, it went fantastic. So I'm kind of jealous of you guys because you guys are like, oh, you have your homies, you know, go to the con with you. My first three cons, I was dolo. Yeah, I was by myself, bro. So like I hear that shit like, hey man, you gotta hustle, you can't be hope. Bro, I was reading a book at one point, dog. I was beat. Yo, but I kind of like, so me personally, I think the work should speak for itself, which is obviously not entirely practical, right? You do have to like compromise a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And which is why I let people talk freely. You want spoilers, you want whatever, because I certainly can't sell it. Like, I'm just like, yo, the shit good. Come check it out. That's how I feel about it. So my displays, it was really simple. So my first con, I started with just a poster and a comic book.
Right.
And the second con, I had a couple more copies, the third con. And so I just been adding to my displays and I feel like I found a good balance. I added a price sheet, which sounds rudimentary, but I never thought about it.
So it
kind of took off, man. Like, I really felt like for the first time, like really like I can do this, you know, like I have a business in this, you know, like I have a place in this community. Like, it felt amazing.
Yeah, no, that's good, man. That's good. Hey, listen, sometimes it takes a couple. It takes a few before you start getting, you know, getting into your zone and stuff like that. Do you have anything lined up? You have anything coming up next? Or?
Oh, yeah, I got a 4-day con, a 3-day con. Pray for me.
Nah.
Dolo.
No bathroom breaks. So where are you going to be? Where are you going to be at?
It's going to be GalaxyCon in Raleigh, which I believe is in July. And I'm going to Baltimore Comic-Con October. And then I'm going to Hampton Comic-Con also in October. So I'm trying to move these comic books, man. I ain't gonna hold you.
Good for you, man. What's the plan for the next I know this one isn't over yet, but what's the plan for the next campaign? When are you thinking?
We plan it. It's gonna be October.
October. Okay.
Yeah. So I like to condense I like to be like, when I'm grinding, I like to be there. You know what I'm saying? I don't like to be kind of half doing stuff. Like, I'd rather just do everything in 1 month and just chill. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to have the campaign in October and then the two cons. So it's going to be a good month.
Yeah. No, good for you, man.
Any other podcasts you're going to appear on promoting this campaign?
Dog, I might have done like 30 of these, bro. I got a couple more. But I feel like, honestly, like, so I really do the podcast for conversation, like network and stuff like that. And I hope this isn't like rude. I don't know how much it helps, to be 100% honest. I don't know. I do this because I want to like meet people. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it's about. Have some great conversations. So the biggest thing I've done is just post on Twitter like a lot. Like, that's been the biggest legs for my campaign, for real. Is social media.
Yeah, no, they have. It's crazy what social media can do. I mean, I met you with Dan Price that night. You know what I mean? We just had a good time just kind of talking about this kind of stuff. But yeah, and you're doing great, man. Dude, listen, you have what, 15 days left? Mm-hmm. You're almost there. I don't see any reason why you are not going to get to the 3,500. So good luck with you, my brother. I think it's going to do well. I can't wait for number three, man. I can't wait for number three.
I'm absolutely. Thank you.
For one and two. So good job with the book. I know you don't want to give too much away, but anybody watching, definitely pick up the book. It's very, very well written. I like issue one, man. That got me right off the bat. The last page, I was like, oh, there it is. There it is. Because you kind of know, but you don't know until the very last page. And I'll say that. That's all I'll say about that. But
I don't want to spoil issue two, but I think it's gonna give you you're gonna want to read the third issue.
You think it'll sell the comic book? Spoil it, please. Do it.
Oh man!
But you know, we're at that stage where you get to deliver your elevator pitch. We're gonna give you the screen. You know, tell people why they should back this campaign. You know, why DK, and then how can they reach you? And you know, what are your social handles? So it's all yours.
Absolutely. So the reason that you should back the K is that I'm somebody who does things the right way. I'm very active in the community. It's not an easy sell to make a mature horror comic book that doesn't have a lot of gore, doesn't have a lot of cursing. It's kind of niche, and I'm doing things the right way. I pay my staff well, and definitely something that you should at least check out. I'm on Twitter at Stokes the Writer. I'm on Instagram at Instagram.com/DecayComic.
Outstanding. Outstanding.
Awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. No, great job on the campaign. The production value is top notch. You know, you got a solid plan ahead of you, you know, touring the shows. I know it gets tight and it gets grueling. You know, I'm about to start my convention season. So, you know, the name of the game is smile, smile, smile. Yeah. But yeah, you got it. And you know, you're always welcome back. You know, when you launch that next campaign, you know, hit us up and you got a spot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Brett, thanks a lot.
Man. We'll talk soon, brother. Take care.
All right, bro. Y'all be easy.
Peace. Yeah, so again, check it out, guys. That is Decay. Oh, what's up, Dan in the house?
What up, Dan?
I didn't even see that till now. Yeah. I mean, it's pretty legit. I don't want to spoil issue two. So that's why I'm not going to, you know, but issue two definitely wants you to, you're going to want to read issue three.
Yeah.
So, you know, he has 136 backers, you know, he's about 753 away from goal. And with 15 days to go, the way he's trending, I think he'll probably make goal in a week. So check it out.
Yeah, no, definitely check it out, Anthony Stokes, and make sure you hit the links in the show notes because that'll take you right to the campaign. I think they're also in the chat if you haven't seen them yet. But yeah, no, big shout out to Anthony. He's doing his thing, man. You know, he's a hustler. He's out there, you know. He's already got the books ready to rock and roll. So you're not going to be waiting. You're not going to be waiting around for product. This is going to be shipped as soon as the funds hit and he's ready to rock it out. So. Word. Good for Anthony. I'm glad he's doing it that way because, you know, we fall victim to not having stuff that's done until the campaign ends. And all of a sudden, you know, 2, 3 months, 4 months, a year later, you know, we're still not being able to send anything out because, you know, artists haven't finished with the work or whatever.
Not a miles.
So.
Not a miles. Crazy. We got standards.
Yeah. No, he's got a good mind. He's got a good business plan, good mindset, good
that's
strategy.
That's the way to do it, especially when you're new to the game, you're introducing a new product. The best way to gain credibility is it's to be delivering on time, be on time. And you know, and he's already got that nailed down, so that's good.
Yeah.
So you know, again, so you know, we changed our format. I want to reiterate to everybody out there who has crowdfunding campaigns,
yes.
That starting June, we're not doing live Kickstarter campaigns. In June, we will be interviewing anybody with crowdfunding, but they'll be pre-recorded and they'll be airing every Fridays. So it's in your best interest to hit us up, about 45 days minimum in advance of your campaign launch. If you want to get a spot on the show, so that way it'll launch on time for your campaign. Cause we, you know, basically Cast the Crazy is founded on the creator, the conversation, the journey, the exploration, you know, learning about our guests and their plight. And so we want to go back to those are grassroots and, you know, since COVID hit, we went, you know, we became this Kickstarter show. And while we appreciate everybody, we're still going to give you your love and give you your spotlight. It'll be pre-recorded and aired in time for your campaign. But we want to, if you don't have a campaign, we want to talk to you about your journey. If you're an author, you're a puppeteer, you're a musician, if you're an indie creator, you know, hit us up. The link's in the summary. Get on the calendar. Book a spot on Cast the Craze, and we'll get you live, and we'll be talking to you live about you. So, yes, that's what's changed a little bit on the format. Next week, there are no shows. Next week, the Crazy Intellects will still air on Monday, and whatever's supposed to be scheduled for Friday will air, but we won't have any live shows because I'll be in Vegas. So, but when I get back, we'll be back to our regular scheduled program.
Yes, sir. Yeah, everything is happening so fast. Next week you'll be in Vegas, and then the week after that, the launch of the There's an alien in my toilet. The end of
yeah,
the Adventures of Wonder Duck. So, you know, and then, you know, repeat. Everything just starts all over again. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so make sure that if you haven't done so yet, sign up to the page for There's an Alien in My Toilet. And if you haven't done so yet, make sure you pledge to the campaign that's live right now for the Adventures of Wonder Duck. I will be on the Nerds of the Round at 9 p.m. tonight. So catch me there live right after this. And then what's happening tomorrow? Oh, tomorrow night's going to be a late night, bro. We actually have an early show tomorrow. We'll have a 7 o'clock show tomorrow.
Yes.
That's going to be live. So yeah, check us out tomorrow at 7 p.m., 6 p.m. Eastern Standard, I mean, Central Pacific, Central Standard Time, and then, you know, Pacific, whatever. Any, you know what I mean. But we're going to have an early show tomorrow. And then we also, and then I'll be on with JD.
I'm still waiting for my answer. They said they're making the decision today. I didn't see any emails. You know, they took my money. They took $365 or $75, whatever it was. They took it in February when I applied in February. But the email that I got a week ago said that they're making the decision today. So hopefully tomorrow I'll know if I got a credit in my account that's like, you know, thanks but no thanks, here's your money back, or hey, you're in. So, you know, I'll find out, you know, hopefully this week. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, yes, I was saying tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m., catch me on JD Calderon's show. I will be on with him live.
Yes, you're on Nerds and JD?
No, tomorrow night, 10:30 p.m., oh, tomorrow night. Yeah.
Yeah, tonight, Nerds at 10:30 JD?
Tonight I'm on the Nerds.
Tonight, okay. All right.
Tonight, 9 p.m. in just a few minutes. Catch me over there. But yeah, it's gonna be pretty busy. You're gonna start going on some podcasts as well. So stay tuned for that.
I'm not doing 30 like I did last time. I'm doing a handful. I'm not doing 30. It was too much for me. It was tiring. It was exhausting. Doing 5 shows a week for Catch the Craze, plus be going on all those shows, plus promoting a campaign, plus drawing a comic book. It was just too much.
Yeah, the thing is too, when you do a lot of those shows, and listen, I think that it's a necessary evil sometimes. I was telling you this before, and I had spoken to Nita and to Daphne on their show, and I think that just the middle, like those 2 weeks in the middle, is when most of the shows should happen, because that's when the lulls happen. But even then, it's just a lot. And the thing is, you've said the same thing over and over and over on all the different shows, so you're repeating yourself, and it depends on the questions too, like where the angle of the interview goes. But it's like what you were saying. And the reason why we want to do the live shows and just for the journey of the creator, because you can't help but be on promotion mode. And so you almost don't want them to ask you too much about you. You want to talk about the campaign, because that's what's live right now. So you kind of like aren't even thinking about, okay, you're asking me a question about me, but I need to sell this book. So let's talk about this book. So automatically the answers switch into, so tell me how you got into comics. Well, you know, I started writing this comic book that's on Kickstarter right now, you know, and it's about this, and it's about that. Yeah, exactly. So it totally just derails. And it's because we're just thinking about, you know, what we have to do. So
yeah,
that's another reason why that goes. But yeah, it's tough to do 30, man. Big shout out to Anthony for doing as many as he's done already. So
yeah, you know, and again, you got to do it to understand whether or not you want to do it again, right? I did it, been there, done that. I need a break. I want to really just focus on, I'm going to do a lot of more live drawings during the campaign, because I was building an audience there, and then I fell off. I haven't done it in a minute, but I've been drawing a lot behind the scenes. I just haven't been recording it. So yes, I'll be doing the campaign. I do a lot of live draws, and then hopefully be at the Dallas Expo on week 3 of the campaign. That'll be dope as well. So we'll see what happens. You know. And again, it's easy as, if you want to be a guest on the show, just hit the link in the summary, and just follow the instructions. Because I still to this day I get guests and it says send us the information and I never get jack. So you know, reading is fundamental, you know, just do it. But no, it was a good show. I mean, you know, the Adventures of Wonder Duck is going strong, you know, it's getting ready to unlock that next stretch goal, you know.
Stretch goal number 4 for this guy right here. Let's get it.
Hector Rodriguez.
Shout out to Heck, man. Yeah.
That's pretty fire. So I think, that's all I got.
That's all I got, my brother. I'm just going to get ready for my next appearance.
Next appearance, yes, I know. I know. You're going on the Nerds tonight. The Nerds. There's nothing. And when does, wait, when does, I saw the trailer for She-Hulk. It was pretty funny. But when is Obi-Wan supposed to start? Next week?
No. Is it? I think the end of this month, the 27th.
Yeah.
Maybe? It's supposed to be next 20, week. 27th, right? Is it on a Friday or Wednesday?
I'm waiting for it. Jeez. And that's coming, why George bro. That's why you've been watching the sketch series, because there's nothing on Disney Plus.
but it's a good series, boy. And I forgot about it. It's a fantastic
series.
I forgot all about it.
We talked about it on the morning group.
Yeah, we had mentioned it and then we never. I was like, oh shoot, it's out. So I watched like 5 episodes last night, bro. I'm gonna try to finish it up after I get off with the guys.
Yeah. So guys, don't forget tomorrow night. Join us. We'll have another guest live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then Thursday morning we'll be back for the morning brew. With the crazy crew, and yes, we'll be talking indeed. About all things pop culture and whatever comes our way. So with that said, don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already. Hit that thumbs up.
Hit it.
Let us know that you liked it. And if you haven't done so already, check out the Crazy Antenna Less. The new episode on Monday. It's pretty dope. Got a lot of good feedback. I'm Sam the Crazy Man Farrah.
George the Dreamer Medina.
And we are out. Crazy. No, I was talking about my friend Acquies. I met him.
Say my name. Say my name.
This is what you were thinking.
Oh, he described me. He said, "I'm the
idiot." You're listening to Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Girl.